Welcome to the Blind Geek Zone, the podcast and website for geeks and non-geeks alike. You don't have to be a geek to love it here. Time for another Blind Geek Zone podcast. Here's your host, Rick Harmon.
Blind Geek Zone Podcast number 71 for July 25th, 2013. Hey, this is Rick, back again for another Blind Geek Zone Podcast. This time I'm going to talk about my experiences taking apart a 2011 MacBook Pro laptop. I took my MacBook Pro laptop with me to the ACB National Convention in Columbus here earlier in the month, and it has a 320 gig hard drive on it, which I have split up evenly, about 160-160, with Mac on one side and Boot Camp on the other. And I don't heavily use my Mac as a Mac. I more typically use it as a Windows laptop. Some of you will be booing at that, but hey, it's just how it is right now. But, you know, I will tell you something. I do like my Mac very much, even though I don't heavily use it. One of the key reasons that is for things like I did here the other day. I decided that I was going to swap the hard drive out in it. And I looked around on Newegg, and I decided to go with a Seagate 1 terabyte hybrid hard disk drive. Now, what a hybrid hard disk drive is, it's a 1 terabyte standard rotating hard drive at 5400 RPMs. But the catch to it is it has 8 gigabytes of NAND flash on it, that it uses its own little SSD drive proprietarily. Jeez, say that three times real quick. Proprietarily. And so it doesn't need any special drivers. It can work on a Windows machine. It can work on a Mac machine, unlike the Fusion drives put out by Apple, which will only work on their machines. So it says it has SSD-like performance. Now, you know, me and you both know that it really doesn't give SSD-like performance, or at least not out of the box. It may give a lot quicker performance after it's run a while and it's decided what files it wants to move into flash memory. But anyways, I decided I want to check that out. I'll let you know here in the future how that's running. But the biggest reason, like I said, what I love about my Mac is, and I've said this a couple of times, is that unlike on a Windows laptop, you don't have to have any eyeballs to set it up. It can be booted from its DVD. I have a Mountain Lion DVD. And I stick that in. I wait a little while. I hit Command F5. And, oh, I don't know if it's Fred or Bruce that comes up. And, you know, he just starts talking to me, telling me what's going on and all that cool stuff. And once I got the hard drive put in, I'll talk about that experience here in just a moment. I was able to boot up my Mountain Lion disk, get voiceover talking, and I was able to configure that disk and install Mountain Lion on it without any sighted assistance at all. Now, yesterday, tried to get Boot Camp put on, and unfortunately, Boot Camp needs sighted assistance. Had somebody helping me with that. We had some issues. Going to have to try it again here over the weekend because did something wrong, and I ended up getting Windows 7 Home Basic on it instead of Windows 7 Home Premium, so the key won't work and all that good stuff. But that's the cool thing, you know. No eyeballs needed to get the Mac OS up. It didn't take me all that long, and it was a very self-satisfying experience. I was very happy with myself. Now to talk about how I got to that point. If you're thinking about replacing your hard drive or your memory, or maybe you want to take out the the super drive, there are ways that you can take out the super drive and put a bay in there and put a second hard drive in there and take the super drive and put it in an external case and run it as a USB drive instead of internal. And people do that. There are some precautions that you need to make sure you follow before you try to do this. The biggest of these is that the back is secured by 10 screws. And these 10 screws are three different sizes, according to, I think it's fixit.com. I looked up some instructions on Google just to, I had a pretty good idea of what I needed to do, but I just looked at some instructions to help me move forward with it. But anyways, there's 10 screws and they're different sizes. Apparently, I guess the four, when you have it backside facing up, and you have the back of the unit, you know, where the CPU exhaust comes out away from you, you have the front towards you. The super drive will be on the left, and the hard drive will be to your left, in towards the front. And then the battery will be to your right in the front. And then in the back there somewhere, there's your memory modules on the right. But the bottom four screws, I believe, are 3.5 millimeter length screws. Moving up, the center left, the center right, I believe, are 4 millimeter screws. And the top left is also a 4 millimeter screw. And then there's three other screws on the top row or back towards the exhaust, three towards the right. And they're all long screws, apparently, all the same size. But what I did here is I got kind of tricky. I have this muffin tin for baking muffins. I used it 2 or 3 years ago as a Braille teaching aid when I was working with uncontracted Braille. And I was using it because I could put tennis balls in it and use the 12 positions in the muffin tin as two cells of Braille. Anyways, it's been setting away, collecting dust, but got the idea the other day. Well, hey, I'll take this out. I can use this. It's four wide and three high. So what I did is I set it next to the MacBook Pro, and as I took a screw out of the unit, I put it in the proper spot in the 10. So I used 10 of the 12 spots in the center row. I just didn't put anything in the center two positions. And that way I was able to keep track of all of my screws, make sure I, you know, knew where those went back in, because they're little. You know, the three long ones are easy to handle, but the other ones are very, very small. You will need a Phillips 00 screw. It's one of those little jewel driver type Phillips screw heads. And you'll need a T6 torque driver as well. And that is to take off some posts on the Apple hard drive and put on the hard drive that you're replacing it with to be able to mount it properly. So get all these screws out, put them where they need to be. You can then lift the bottom shell up. It's all just one piece of very thin aluminum, so don't step on it or sit on it or anything, because it'll be mangled. It really is quite thin. I mean, it's not, you know, that ridiculously thin that you can't handle it, but it is thin if you'd happen to step on it or something or sit on it. I think it would be adversely affected. Anyways, put that aside. And then, like I said, you have the back part of it, the exhaust part of it, away from you. Then the super drive will be on the left towards the rear. The hard drive will be on the left towards the front. And then on the right towards the front is your battery bay. And then behind the battery bay towards the back is the memory modules. And towards in the middle is your CPU exhaust fan. And you know, you might want to just blow that out or whatever. Just make sure it's clean just while you have it open. Okay, so now that you've got the back off. If you touch the hard drive and you kind of feel up back towards the super drive, you'll feel a plastic bracket has two Phillips screws in it. You'll release these screws. You'll untighten them. They don't come all the ways out. They stay inside of it, so you just unscrew it so far, and you know they'll just hang in there. Gently lift that piece out. That is the frame for that side of the hard drive. Then you'll have a little flap on the Apple hard drive that you can gently lift it up. Don't lift it up very far. Just lift it up a little ways, because the little ribbon cable is hooked to the hard drive SATA connections, and it's just a very little thin ribbon, so take care. The ribbon connection is towards the left outside of the case. You know, if you're on the front, go to the left corner there where the hard drive's at. The ribbon is back there where it's connected. You lift that side up gently, and then you can slide the SATA connector off. Then you can remove the drive at that point. And if you feel around where the screws on the sides would normally be, you'll feel these little nubs, these little posts. Those go in the little rubber boots if you feel around inside there in the front, where the front side of the hard drive was connected. You'll feel those little rubber boots. And then the plastic bracket that you pulled out of there has an open-ended thing that goes down over those other two posts that's got rubber on it. And the rubber is used just to isolate the drive and reduce vibration and shock and all that good stuff. The trick here is, and where it caught me off guard, is it requires a T6 torque to remove those posts. And I didn't have a T6 torque. I've got a couple on order now, so if I ever do this again on anybody else's machine, I'll be much more prepared to do it. What I did, and what you can do if this is your machine and you don't care too much, I took a pair of pliers and gently twisted the screws, the posts counterclockwise till they loosened, and you know, was able to take them off. The downside to this is they feel like they're chrome plated posts, you know, metal posts, and you might scuff them up to some extent doing that, but you know, if it's your driving, you know, like I said, I really didn't care, so I just went ahead and do it. You know, be careful not to mangle them. It doesn't take a tremendous amount of pressure to do it that way, but if you get the T6 torque, do it that way. But if you get in a pinch and you don't have one, you can use just a pair of pliers that's got the little ridges on them, you know, so it'll grip down on it. Don't squeeze ridiculously hard. Just apply enough pressure to grip it, and then turn them counterclockwise, and they'll loosen. What I did, and then you put those obviously in the new drive, and the circuitry. Remember, the circuitry side faces towards the inside of the unit. The top part of the hard drive faces towards the bottom of the unit. And that'll be obvious when you try to slide the SATA cables back in. Slide, you know, put it back down there where you can get to it. Slide the SATA cables back in after you get the posts in. Put the front side in first. Poke it into the little holes there in the rubber boots. Set it back down into place. Take the plastic bracket. Gently slip it back down into place, and it'll cover those other two posts on the other side. And then screw your screws down. And that's it. Put the the back on, put the screws all back in place, and that's it. Flip her over, open it up, turn it on, slip your DVD in, and you might need to turn it back off and do it again if you can't do it quick enough. Hold your C key down for several seconds. The DVD will spin up, start reading. If you're using Lion or Snow Leopard, it doesn't take near as long as it did Mountain Lion. Mountain Lion takes quite a while of reading. But at some point, you'll be able to turn VoiceOver on and follow the prompts. First thing you want to do, don't try to install Mountain Lion on immediately. You need to go to the disk utility first and locate that drive, and go into it, locate it, go into it, tell it you want to format it, follow all those instructions for partitioning it out, and then do the format, and then back out of that with the command Q, and then tell it you want to install Mountain Lion, tell it the disk, and agree, and it'll go on its way, and you can sit there and listen to its progress. It'll reboot, and you can turn VoiceOver back on. It'll follow up its process of installing it. And then I believe it'll reboot once again when it's completely finished. You'll come up, you'll be ready to start configuring the computer. Put in your information, your Apple ID and all that good stuff, and how you want different things to work. Very simple process, doesn't take, I wouldn't say much more than a half an hour, 40 minutes to do with Mountain Lion. And the process of opening it up, taking the hard drive out, putting the new hard drive in. If you're nervous like me, it took quite a while. But once you're used to doing it, you can do that probably well in under a half hour. It's not a very difficult process to do. I don't know exactly how the super drive comes out, but it could be pulled too, and you can get a bay to put a hard drive in there if you wanted. You could use the super drive externally. People do that. You got memory modules in there. Be very, very careful with those. Our first experience with those, a friend of mine replaced memory for me because I was a bit squeamish to do it, and had an accident with it, and one of the clips got broke. We kind of had to rig that, but that's been holding for 2 years now, and it's been working excellent. So thankfully that didn't have any adverse effects. But those modules are in there. You can replace those too. The battery can be replaced. It's fully accessible. It's out in the open. You got to have a little tool to kind of pry it up. You got to be real gentle with it. There's a cable that plugs it into the main board, and that can be replaced as well. So, all right. And that was fun. I enjoyed that. I was scared as hell at first. And I had to ask a lot of questions because I just wasn't sure about doing it. I was going to take it somewhere and just pay to do it, but went ahead and just did that myself. And then if you get something like Super Duper Carbon Copy Cloner, you can just, hook at your backup and restore that right back to the drive. You can use something like WinClone, I guess, if you get a boot camp. I'm just going to reinstall my boot camp and do it over. It'll take me a little bit of time, but I'm not sure if WinCloner can adjust the partition size or not. So it's a little partition for the boot camp. It's only like 160 gigs. So what I've got this configured as right now is about 275 gig for the Mac and 7 something for Windows, 750-ish for the boot camp partition. And I figure that's plenty of room even on the Mac side if I decide to even start doing a bunch of stuff. I still have plenty of room. So this should give me a lot of room to grow. And the MacBook Pro still runs very well, even though it's just a 2.3 gigahertz i5 dual core with 8 gigs of memory. Still runs real well. Runs Windows good. And should be able to get several more years use out of it here with the hard drive upgrade. And I just kind of wanted to talk to everybody about that in case you decided you might want to do that for yourself and you wonder, well, can a blind person do it? Yes, a blind person can do it. You'll need some eyeballs for boot camp, but if you're just running it as a Mac, piece of cake. You can probably do this in an hour, hour and a half, and have a new hard drive in it, new memory in it, back together and back up and running again with your OS and everything installed or restored, and it's just that simple. And it's really nice. That part of Apple I do love. All right. Well, not too much else has been going on from last week, so I don't have too much else to say. I just wanted to say thanks for all the great podcasts that are coming up here lately. We got some Windows 8 stuff from Austin. We had some real nice stuff with Seeing Eye, GPS, and from Darren Duff and the Nearby Explorer, and Seeing Eye review from Mike Garrigo, and Chris Hallsworth's demos of the what is that, the Embrail or whatever for the iOS. Good stuff. I thank everybody for to continue to upload. I'd like to see more of you contributing stuff as well, you know, since Blank Cool Tech really isn't around. I know there's a bunch of other places out there, but, you know, I do have a commitment to Blank Geek Zone, as you can see. We've been around since late 2006, and as long as nothing bad happens to me, you know, I'm not going anywhere, so I've got this all set up to where even if I was working full-time, it doesn't take that much time to get the podcasts updated and on there, so I'm not going anywhere. So if you want to get your podcasts up somewhere where you know they're going to stay, BGZ is definitely your place. All right, well, hey, hopefully I'll be back again here soon with something else, but I don't have anything else for you today, so I'll sign off now, say thanks for listening, and we'll catch back up with you again here real soon.
Thanks for listening. For more great podcasts like this one, check out the Blind Geek Zone at www.blindgeekzone.net.